The Giant. Thinkers.
Giant Thinkers.
Giant Thinkers Podcast.
Hey guys, welcome to the show. I'm Ram Castillo, and in this podcast, I'm bringing to you top experts from various industries worldwide to learn from their success and to help us become better designers, creatives, and giant thinkers. Hey Giants, Ram here. Welcome to episode number 93. Today's guest is heavily in the tennis world, and whether you're a tennis fan or not, this gentleman needs little introduction. He is the founder, chairman, and CEO of Muratoglu Academy and CEO of UTS, Ultimate Tennis Showdown. It's a revolutionary tennis league aiming to modernize the tennis industry. Our guest today is one of the most recognized figures in tennis, with 10 Grand Slam titles, 2 gold medals, and 31 coaching singles titles. He is known for his innovative and disruptive vision. Having started his tennis academy way back in 1996, he's been coaching and mentoring for more than 25 years. Of course, including legends such as Serena Williams and rising stars like Stefanos Tsitsipas and Coco Gauff. Both amazing players that I love as well. He's also consulted for the largest sport media on the planet, published his own books. He's founded a foundation supporting the future stars of tennis. He's even featured in a Netflix documentary titled The Playbook, which I highly recommend. It is brilliant. And he's opened tennis centers in the world's most stunning locations. Affectionately nicknamed the Mastermind, our guest is rewriting tennis's legacy in every way possible. Some of the topics we spoke about include what we need to look out for when hiring a coach, what he as a coach looks out for when coaching someone that wants to work with him, his view on the coachability of a person, how to get the most out of someone when coaching them. And then we swung the needle all the way to a conversation around what is happening today with all things Web3, NFTs, including his own project and involvement in that space. So if you're someone that's interested in world-class practices around coaching, being coached, and the innovation that's happening with the melding of tennis and Web3 and NFTs, then this episode is for you. Before we begin, I invite you to follow me on my Instagram if we aren't connected already. My handle is TheGiantThinker. I share daily posts and stories on helping decision makers, business owners, and leaders get unstuck through human-centered design methodologies, creative strategies, digital marketing, and branding. Send me a DM. I'd love to hear from you. I respond back to every single one. Once again, you can find me on my handle, The Giant Thinker. And on that note, I present to you the highly strategic, charismatic, and results-driven tennis coach, Patrick Muratoglu. Patrick Muratoglu, welcome to the Giant Thinkers podcast. I, as well as many of the listeners, are super excited to have you on. Thank you so much. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you very much for the invitation. I'm excited too.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, I'm from Sydney. You're hailing from Paris right now. Are you in Paris, Patrick?
I'm in Nice, in south of France, where the Muratoglu Academy is based. That's where I live.
Excellent. Fantastic. So to those listening, I've been interacting with Patrick for over the course of 16 months, intermittently. I've been engaging with a lot of his amazing content, and I'm feeling a roller coaster of emotions, as you can all imagine. But to ground us, I want to focus. We've only got half an hour with Patrick, so I want to focus on two things. The first is coaching, and the second theme is around innovation. And specifically, surprising maybe for listeners, but specifically Web 3.0 and the blockchain and NFT, that whole space. So we'll kick off. Patrick, I always give an original icebreaker question. Yours is, if you could assemble five players, okay, with forehand, backhand, serve, volley, and speed, without thinking too much about it, which five players would you assemble with these five areas? Forehand, backhand, serve, volley, speed.
Well, that's a difficult question because there are a lot of great forehands, great backhands, great serve on tour. Okay, I hope I don't disrespect anybody with choosing one for each of the categories. I would say forehand, I would say Roger. Backhand, Novak. Movement, Novak too, because he's moving as fast as other guys, but I think he stays much closer to the baseline, which gives him a lot of opportunities to also attack, and he moves great from defense to offense incredibly well. Serve. That's a very tough one. Who has the best serve? I would say Roger also, because it's probably not the most impressive, but if you look at his data on first and second serve, is probably the best. And what was the last one?
And the last one's volley.
Volley. Volley, I have to go with Roger too.
Amazing. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. And I appreciate the candid answers. It's no doubt hard because you have been exposed to so many of the world's best. So undoubtedly, it would be very difficult.
And I have to say, because I didn't name Rafa, and it's impossible not to name Rafa in any of the categories, mental strength and fights in the match, Rafa is number one. So at least, I mean, it's unfair to him if I don't name him in any of the categories. Sorry for that. What's your next question?
No, that's perfect. I was actually going to add a sixth, and then I thought that might be too much. I want to make sure that we're keeping it at least quite efficient here, but I was going to add mindset. So I'm glad you answered that with Rafa. Amazing. Where would you say your expertise lies, Patrick?
I think my expertise lies in helping people achieve their potential. I mean, achieve the maximum of their potential. That's my job, I feel. I've been specializing in tennis, but I feel I'm doing the same job. I could do the same job in anything, because it's really the same thing. It's understanding how people process, understanding how to communicate with them, working to help them build their self-confidence, because once you build the self-confidence of the people, they start to open a lot of new horizons. They start to believe more in themselves, and they start to also be ready to aim higher and give more of themselves to achieve their goals. Because I think the principle, I mean, I would say the main obstacle between people and their potential and the achievement of their potential is the fact that they're scared to not to succeed. They're scared to fail, and this is a big obstacle. And the more the self-confidence grows, the less they're scared to fail, and the more they can achieve. So that, I think that's my I would say that's what I'm doing for many, many years now.
Excellent. And it's been a journey, Patrick. What can you share to us a little bit about your childhood that now reflecting, looking back, that has helped you in that expertise? Maybe a short 2-minute sort of thing. Did you remember a childhood moment that has really affected the way that you've been able to pave a path at such high levels for yourself?
Yes, I like how you make sure that I'm not going to be too long. And you don't even know me well yet. So imagine. So of course, my childhood, and I think it's the same for everyone, in a way have sculpted the adults we became. I was extremely shy, and I was really alone, very shy, unable to connect with people when I was young. And because of that, and because we are creatures, social creatures, I'm talking about human beings, and we need those interactions. They're vital for us. I have developed a lot, not purposely, but just to survive, the ability to read people, because I could not connect with them, and I needed this interaction. So I was spending hours and hours and hours every day at school or wherever, watching people interact with each other, noticing every single detail of the intonation of their voice, any movement of their face, their body language, and trying to put myself in the shoes of both of them and trying to understand what was going on beyond the words. I did this without anything in my mind for the future, but I think I developed an ability to understand people and to be with people, thanks to that problem that I had when I was young.
That's excellent. I think you also mentioned a bit about that in the Netflix documentary series about you. I love how you brought that up. I've heard other world-class people in different fields. Elon Musk talks about that too, where he was very observant. So thank you for sharing that. Patrick, what does a person need to look for or be aware of when hiring a coach? Now, whether it's tennis or otherwise, but I feel that there's a lot of also different ways that people coach, and sometimes, and apparently now it's one of the biggest growing industries, you know, for business coaches, for certain types of coaches, for a specific problem people want to be helped with. Well, what does a person who's looking for a coach, what should they really be aware of and look for?
That's a very, very, very good question. I think the first thing that people should look at when they think about hiring a coach is the connection they have with this person. Because I think the number one quality of a coach is the ability to listen and to understand and to connect. So that's the first question I would ask myself: how much do I feel connected to this person, even if I spoke for 30 minutes to this person? So ability to connect, extremely important. To listen: is this person a listener or is giving me lessons? We are not here to give any lesson to anyone. There is no lesson. At least if the person has something to learn, they will learn from themselves, not from somebody who is outside. I help people understand themselves and understand within themselves what they can use to get to where they want to go. So that's the first thing I would look at. I would also look at people who are positive, but not positive fakely, but positive in a way that, you know, there are different kind of people that we meet every day. Some people look at the glass half full and some people look at the glass half empty all the time. It's so easy to find the flaws and to see the flaws of the people. And some people just look at the flaws of other people. Some others look at what they have that is great, because I think there is positive and negative. I don't know if the right word, by the way, not necessarily negative, but let's say strengths and weaknesses in everyone. I think it's extremely important to have around us people who look at what we do well, look at our strengths and see us nicely rather than seeing our weaknesses. Because the more I look at your weaknesses, the weaker I make you. The more I look at your strengths, the stronger I make you. And you need a coach that sees you great, sees you beautiful, sees you incredible. And I feel that from inside, doing this job for so long. Every time I have a player, I see him or her as the best in the world, and that's how I see them. I don't try to see them like that. I just see them like that. And I think it's very, very important. You know, most of the superstars, people say, oh, they have around them people who are just telling them they're the most beautiful, they're long, and stuff like that. It's a very weak way to see it. I think they need people to see them like that, because it makes them stronger. They have a lot of pressure to face, and if people around them just show them their weaknesses, they have no chance to be able to face those challenges stress-wise. So that's the second thing I would look at. And third, I would look at their achievements also, because our job is to make results. So what results have you? A lot of people look at the resume. Oh, who did he work with? it's not who I worked with, is what I've been able to do with that player. Because you can work with good players but not make results with them. So where did I start with that player? Where did I bring that player? Which level did I bring that player to? So that would be the three things I would look at if I had to choose a coach.
Excellent. Fantastic. Thank you so much. Especially love the first one, the stay curious a little bit longer, listen deeper. Very, very important. Advice later. So on the flip side, Patrick, what do you as a coach look out for when coaching someone that wants to work with you?
I think being a coach is being able to work with anyone. I don't like coaches who say, okay, I like this type of player. This is not coaching. This is finding the guy who's perfect for you. Coaching is being able to connect with anybody without any judgment. Without any judgment, the values of this person, I respect whatever they are, and they're going to become my values when I will work with this person. Of course, there are some limits to everything. I will not work with people that are completely against my most important values. This I won't do, but I mean, 90% of the people are not like that, that I meet. So I want to think that I can work with anyone because I feel it's my job to adapt to the player, and I can't ask the player to adapt to me. So that's the first thing. But to be completely transparent, I also want to work with players who are going to help me as I'm going to help them, help me build also my career, my legacy. So I look at the potential of the players always. All the players, since I started this job maybe 20 years ago and starting with a 10-year-old kid, because that was the first guy I worked with, I always thought I want to work with a player that I really believe deeply that the potential is big for two reasons. First, I want to go as high as possible with this player, and everybody has limits. So that's the first thing. And second, I want to believe in this player 100%. I think the enthusiasm of the coach is a key. So I it wouldn't be fair to the player to work with someone that I believe halfway. That wouldn't be fair. And I would never do it because I know that I'm not going to be good with that player, and I don't want to be bad because I know the responsibility that I have as a coach. Like, in a way, the player gives us the clues and to work with them. And in a way, we also have a bit their future in our hands. Of course, we're not doing the job they are, but we are important, I think, in the process in building the future of people. So working with someone that we don't believe 100% in is not fair.
And so there's almost a part two to that, Patrick, because I love how you said that. You know, I wouldn't, you know, judge a person. I would try to see if there is potential to coach this person. But then there's the other extension of it as the initial introduction, the initial observation, engaging with this person, seeing their potential, as you said. Do you think that everyone is coachable is the other side to this? And there is, of course, attitude, openness, propensity for change. Obviously, it's up to that individual to be open to improving and to, and you're smiling as you're seeing this, you've probably seen this 1,000 times, but have you ever said no to someone that wants to be coached by you, who has the means, but simply wasn't coachable? And how does a person like that become a bit more coachable? What advice would you give them? Maybe they're stubborn. Maybe they've got ego.
It's an interesting idea, and I'm happy to speak about that. When you ask coaches about their career, they often tell me, because I did a lot of interviews of coaches in my life, oh, this player, he was not listening. This one was not listening to me, or I told him, but he didn't do it. And every time I hear that, I think, oh, you're not doing a good job, because our job is to be listened to. So in a way, blaming the player for not being open, blaming the player for not listening, blaming the player for not being coachable, it's in a way explaining that we are failing as coaches. I strongly believe in taking the responsibility. I think it's our job. We are responsible for what's going to happen. I accept to work with this player from now on. I am responsible. Not that he's not responsible, but I can't put the blame on him or her. That's too easy. That's too easy. Whenever you don't succeed, it's not you, it's the player. No, I don't agree with that. We're together in this thing. And I always say that there are stages in a coach's journey with a player. The first stage, and that's a big mistake that I see often, coaches jump to the second after having done the first one. So the first layer is to spend the time not taking decisions, but listening, observing, getting the information, and at the same time, getting the trust of the player. Because you can tell a player the most fantastic thing on the planet, if he doesn't believe in you, he's not going to take it. He's going to take it if he trusts you. So this first period of time, it's only about building the relationship and the trust and getting the information. When you start with someone and you take a decision, you have 99% of chances to take a wrong decision because you don't have 10% of the clues. So this period of time is so important. If you succeed there, then you can go to the next stage. But first you have to succeed there. When you succeed there, the player is not stubborn. The player is listening to you. The player is prepared to do whatever you tell him to do because he trusts you and he believes in you. So I don't think anybody is uncoachable. I don't think this exists, except a player who doesn't want to improve, doesn't want to be better, or that refuses to have a coach. And I know you have someone in mind, so that's why I was smiling. But that's the only case. You know, if the player doesn't want to have a coach, okay, then there is nothing we can do. But if he comes to you and he says, I want to work with you, then he opens a big door. And then our responsibility as coaches is to enter into that door and do the job to I always say that the trust that the player puts in you, it's not something that comes from the sky. You have to deserve it. Why would he listen to you? You have to be able to take the time and build the relationship so he will trust you.
Excellent. And before we transition now to the other topic that I wanted to talk about, the innovation side, I do want to squeeze in one other question here around when you are in that pocket, when you have someone who is coachable, let's say, who's open and is ready. And I see this in your videos, all of us who follow you, they are such great videos and you see different levels of this same thing. There's a certain type of friction, but it's the same thing. And it is around self-belief. And what I wanted to ask you, Patrick, is for those listening who have that struggle and fight within themselves, you see, they've got great technique. You've even said it in the past. They have all the great qualities. They train hard. They do all the things. And yet, it's a battle within themselves. And all the greats have said that the match is won before you step on the court. So what's one mindset tip that has really worked to help your students and clients and people you coach? What has gotten them unstuck?
Okay. So a lot of players have a lot of stress and a lot of emotions during the matches, and they struggle with those emotions. Those emotions are responsible for them not being able to compete well, be tight, panic. I mean, all sorts of behaviors that are just a consequence of a stress that is so high that they can't control it. And the stress takes control of them and make them do the wrong things, the wrong choice, or the wrong behaviors. And this is how I explain it to them. I use an analogy that I think everybody understands. Most of the people are scared in a plane. I don't know if you are, but most of the people are scared in a plane. The main reason why they're scared in a plane is because they are not touching the ground and because they don't control anything. Same thing if you sit down in a car, but you're not the one piloting the car and the guy starts to go crazy fast. You're going to panic. You're going to be stressed because you have no control. Now imagine you take the wheel and you go the same speed. Will you be as stressed? Not at all, because you are controlling. So it's about control. When you play a match, you're sitting on the wrong seat. You're not driving because it doesn't depend on you whether you're going to win or lose. It depends also I mean, it depends first on the quality of the game you're going to play, which you don't control because you want to play well and you don't play well. So you don't control that. And plus the opponent. So you have the two main reasons why you would win or lose, you don't control. This brings panic because you want to win so much. The lack of control. So the only way to take control of the match, of your emotions during the match, is to rely only on things you control and get rid of everything that comes to your mind that has nothing to do with the control. So before the match, and this is what I established with the players, is a game plan or a plan in general that takes into consideration only the things that are under their own control and nothing else. And if you're able to do that, establish that plan and stick to the plan from the first one, and be able to respect the plan from the first ball to the last one, you have a very high control on what you're doing and the level of stress is much lower.
Fantastic. Love it. I'm definitely going to chew on that for a long time. Okay, Patrick, let's swing the conversation now to this innovation. Now, when I say innovation, you've always been an innovator. You've always found a way to do new things, to find gaps in your coaching, the way you do things, the way that you market yourself, your brand, in your academies. And now you're getting involved in Web 3.0. For those listening, it's this, of course, new iteration of the World Wide Web. It's based on blockchain technology, incorporating concepts like decentralization, token-based economics. So in this space, Patrick, using blockchain, it's an exciting space, one of which is NFTs, non-fungible tokens. You're about to launch something very exciting. Can you share to us, firstly, what are NFTs? Maybe you can share your version. I'm happy to share mine as well. Feel free to explain and talk to us about what you're up to.
Well, yeah, I started jump into this Web3 world now quite a few months ago. And I started by investing in a company where like three or four investors, main investors, a company called Paris Blockchain Week Summit, which is one of the biggest event for blockchain in the world. And I got to meet a lot of people who are in this industry. Then I got very close to a company called Sorare, who's a huge tech company who created an incredible product, which is NFTs in fantasy game in football. And I'm actually helping them get into the world of tennis, which we're doing at the moment. So I kind of really understand quite well all this ecosystem, which is completely new. And I think an incredible revolution in which there is so much to do because we're just at the start of it. So I feel like we're at the start of the web in a way. It's that's why it's called Web3, by the way. So what is an NFT? An NFT is just it's a digital property, which is unique compared to tokens, because one token looks exactly the same as another token. There's, and you can exchange those two tokens. When it comes to NFTs, they have a number. They're unique. They're all unique. And you can earn this digital property. So it started first with digital art. So you're owning some kind of a piece of art that was unique. And I feel that now for the last year and a half, 2 years, Sorare is one example. Gary Vee has done a lot also for that. A few guys have really, really changed that into change. The digital art will always exist, of course, but brought a new kind of NFTs that brings in real life experiences. And I think is great. And that's why I wanted to be involved in it, is a great tool to drive a lot of fan engagement. And in the sport, I feel that's great. And that's why I get into it. What's your definition of the NFT?
Oh, that's incredible. I love your definition of it. It's important to understand as well, right? Because we're all trying to begin to see and to have shared vocabulary is important so that we can engage with this. And I think you explained it fantastically, Patrick. Going off the back of that, there is this ownership that is unique, first of all. That's very important. And there is the tokenization of things like what you said, art, collectibles, contracts, even now real estate, I'm seeing. And they can only have one official owner at a time. They're secured by the Ethereum blockchain and they're publicly viewable. No one can modify the record or ownership, which is part of the proposition of why this is so amazing. And I think people can look into it themselves if they want to know more. I'm certainly not an expert, you know, but I'm very excited to see you on tech stages, Patrick, by the sounds of it. So tell us about your NFT project specifically. What is the concept and what's the idea?
My NFT project is called The Coach, and we're going to launch only 2,000 NFTs, so not many. And the idea is to create a very exclusive club, and the club will be defined by all the NFT owners, the collectors. Who are those people? Anyone, but mostly it's going to be tennis fans and Web3 enthusiasts. And I want those two populations to be living together, it's an expression, of course, into an exclusive club and share ideas to bring the sport in the world of the Web3. And of course, all the people who are going to own one of the Coach NFT will also have in real life experiences, like, for example, tennis sessions with me, or the possibility to be participating into events, tennis events at my academy, but also conferences at my academy or somewhere else. Why not also? And it's also an opportunity for my academy to become a hub for the and in which you can, we will bring together the Web3 world and the tennis world.
That's incredible. And
what I didn't say, sorry to interrupt you, but I forgot to say, which is very important too, all those 2,000 owners and collectors of the Coach NFT will also have the possibility to participate. We whitelisted, what we call whitelisted, in my next projects. And we have several projects coming up in bringing together again, Web3 and sports.
Excellent. So I just want to get clear on this. What is one of the 2,000 look like? What is that? Is it a digital piece of art? And then I wanted to ask you about the unique benefits. Is it phases? Is there categories or tiers of that collection?
So the NFT looks like a piece of art. It's going to be a moving piece of art. And as you just said, you're totally right in that there are three levels of scarcity. They're called warm up, match, and celebration. That's the name. Of course, the celebration, there are only a few of them, only five. And the lower you get, the more. But in total, it will be 2,000 pieces. What is interesting also is that I decided not to do an auction. I don't want people to be selected by the amount of money that they have. So you will buy just one, or you can buy several, but you'll buy one NFT. You don't know the level of scarcity of this NFT. So and it's going to be randomly decided after everybody has bought its NFT.
Wow. I didn't know that. That's unique.
So you can end up having the highest level of scarcity because it's going to be randomly decided at the end.
Wow, that's so cool. I didn't know that because, I mean, I'm not deep in the NFT space yet, but I am very, very aware of what's out there. And some of these NFTs are just far too out of reach for some people. So that is fantastic. I didn't know that. Okay. Can you share to us some of the unique benefits of your of what one would get for this? Can you name some of the benefits, experiences, whatever it might be?
One is, of course, one-on-one sessions with me. You can have also the possibility to participate into events. And I'm very excited to use my tennis academy to do super, I would say, inspiring events and exciting events for tennis fans and events again that bring together the Web3 world and the tennis world. Let me see, because again, I have a list here. And I named also the early access to the upcoming projects. Actually, I don't have the list. I don't know if you want some more, but
no, that's perfect. Well, look, I think the fact that it's also random in terms of one fee, I guess you could call it, Patrick, one price point. I'm sure, you know, we're going to be able to dig deeper into that when it's all available. And so how did you get this idea, Patrick? How did this come to you?
Well, to be honest, that was not my first idea. My first idea was, how can I help the best young players in the world that need help financially? Because we all know how expensive it is to become potentially a champion. From a very young age, you need to be a coach, a fitness coach. You need to travel around the world to play tournaments. This is a crazy budget for most of the families. And I've seen throughout the years so many talents, like, not being able to achieve a career because of financial, that I thought we have to do something. So in 2014, I created a foundation that still exists. And we're helping quite a few very talented young players to go through that process investing in their future. But we do it as a foundation. We help them. But there are a lot of more that I would love to help. And that's how I thought about NFTs can be a great help, because if you think about it, those people are going to have potentially a great value in the future. But at the moment, they have no value yet, and they need money now, because they will make money in the future if they succeed. So I thought the NFT is a great way to get a piece of their future value and let people buy a little piece of that. So that was my original idea, and that's probably going to happen very soon. My team and I set up a team, dedicated team for this NFT project, because there will be several after that, as you understood. They said, okay, let's launch the coach first, so we can create that fantastic group of the most core people that are tennis fans, that love the brand, that would like to be part of this all these projects, and also the Web3 enthusiasts that think there is so much to do in the sports world, and we can build that together. So that's the first piece of something that's going to be very exciting in the future.
Oh, I love it. It's fantastic. And Patrick, where can we buy these NFTs? What is our, you know, how do we get our hands on them when they're out? Obviously, when I release this podcast, it'll be out and available. Where do we go?
You can go on our website. So the NFTs are going to be sold on our website. You can buy it with your credit card. You don't need to have Ethereums, which we do it on purpose, because I know how difficult it is for someone who never bought an NFT to buy his first one, create his wallet. I mean, it's a bit complicated, to be honest. So we're going to have a hotline. We're going to help people build their wallet if they need to. They'll be able to have people on the phone to help them through that process. And you can go to our website. The name of the website is thecoachnft.io. And directly on the website, with your credit card, you can buy the NFT. Then for the second market, it's going to be on the platform that everybody knows, OpenSea, Rarible, those ones.
Mate, you're all over it. You're on top of it. I love it. That's excellent. A few more rapid fire questions just to close off this amazing interview. Patrick, a question I ask all my guests: if you could travel back in time for 30 seconds, only 30 seconds, and speak to junior Patrick. Junior Patrick, the youngster finishing high school, let's say, what would you tell him? And you've got 30 seconds to talk to him.
I would tell him, you've gone a long way. You were you had zero self-confidence. You were looking at yourself in the mirror every day, telling yourself you were terrible, you had no chance, you were ugly, and you're not interesting. And now you're maybe 20-something years old, and you've come such a long way to finally have some confidence, and this opened so many doors to you. So the world is open. Go for it.
Boom. Incredible. And Patrick, who has been an impactful giant thinker in your life? You know, this show, and I've had this brand for many years now, giant thinkers. Who is that person for you that's inspired you to think bigger, dig deeper in helping you reach your full potential?
I would say Anthony Robbins. I read a book from him. I was probably maybe 20 years old. And it had a very strong impact on me, especially for a French guy. You know, it's completely different from the French mentality. And actually, it was very close to my way of thinking, but I was feeling really alone thinking like that in France. And when I read the book, first of all, I felt like, wow, it's so close to, I don't want to say that I am like him because he has an incredible career and I have a lot of respect for him. But I felt like someone was thinking in a way close to my way of thinking. And he opened a lot of other doors for me. I think he was going much further than me at that time in the way he was thinking, the option, the famous unlimited power, which is the title of his book, that we all have in ourselves.
Yeah, I feel you on the OG, the original Tony Robbins. He's helped me and so many others. I remember too, I'm in my mid-30s now. I remember when I was 18 and Awaken the Giant Within. Oh, changed my
life.
That's
the best one. That's the best book of it.
Honestly, changed my life. If it wasn't for him, I would be totally wired in a different way, I think. So I'm glad. And so, Patrick, what's next for you? Of course, you've got this project. Is there anything else that you want to share for this year and beyond?
I'm happy to talk about just a few words about UTS, which is the league that I started 2 years ago. In 2020, it was not a league at that time. It was just events. The original idea of these events is to bring young people to tennis, not playing, but watching tennis, because we all know that our habits, consumer habits, have been revolutionized since the digital came in. Or maybe not people my age, like 50 to 70, because we're old, but people who are under 40, like you, I'm sure 100% that you don't consume this type of content the same way as people who are over 50 at all. So this new generation under 40 years old, thanks to the digital, the social media, the streaming platform, the video games, the esport, have created new habits. They're consuming content that are short, immersive, without downtime, et cetera, et cetera. And I don't think that these old formats of sports fit those criteria. So I had the idea to create a new format based on tennis, but that would be very exciting for the young generations. We've done some events, we've done the proof of concept, and now we're ready to launch our league, like with tournaments and with a world ranking all year long. And this is what we are working on for 2023, and it's extremely exciting.
Amazing. What does that stand for, Patrick? UTS, what does it stand for?
It stands for Ultimate Tennis Showdown.
That's it. Yes, because I've seen that tournament. It looks so much fun. Amazing. And Patrick, one last question, of course. How can listeners get in touch with you online?
I'm not going to name all of my social media. It's going to be boring, but I'm all on most of the social medias, YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Discord, LinkedIn, of course. And we have a website, muratoglu.com. And as I said, for the ones who want to know more about the NFTs, thecoachnft.io.
Excellent. Patrick, thank you so much for your time. I know that you are so busy and wow, I am going to certainly cherish this conversation. It will be one that is going to live on the digital library amongst so many other greats, from Kelly Slater to Olympians to Shark Tank investors, a whole bunch of different leaders in different industries. So I'm so glad to have someone in tennis. I've not had anyone in tennis yet. So
thank you. That's an honor for me.
This is amazing. I certainly haven't taken this lightly. Thank you, Patrick, once again. Really, really appreciate your time.
Thank you very much. Thank you for the invitation. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening, Giants. That was a huge interview. Needless to say, I'm even stumbling across my words. One for the legacy archives. It's been a bucket list type of conversation for me. I was pinching myself throughout the whole interview, to be honest. And I'm truly grateful that you've spent time listening. and hopefully absorbing a new tool or approach or way of thinking to help you on your journey. If you're enjoying this podcast, one massive way that helps keep the show going is leaving an iTunes review. Head to giantthinkers.com/podcast review. That'll take you straight to it. I read and appreciate every single one. And what happens is your reviews helps get the show in front of more people that may need it, that may be in a place or a time in their life where they're searching for this type of content and conversation. Especially during these turbulent times, we need more pragmatic optimism in our earbuds, straight to our hearts, and of course in our minds. Now, this interview was a special one that I've squeezed in sneakily. There's a few months still where we are on break on this podcast before the official launch of the next season, beginning in the second half of this year, 2022. I invite you to subscribe to the show on your preferred podcast app if you aren't already. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, anywhere you listen to podcasts, and you'll be notified as soon as I resume in a few months. For any questions regarding the show or anything at all, you can DM me on Instagram, send me a message via my handle, TheGiantThinker. As I mentioned earlier, I respond to every single comment and DM, and it brings me great joy to chat with every listener that reaches out. Lastly, I'll leave you with a quote that I loved from Patrick, who said, "The more I look at your weaknesses, the weaker I make you. The more I look at your strengths, the stronger I make you. You need a coach that sees the greatness in you to see you as incredible."